Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Curtis Krishnire. Today, we are going to talk about Fort Pickens. Fort Pickens today is safely administered by the National Park Service as part of the Gulf Islands National Seashore, and it's an incredibly impressive complex. Probably going to take two shows to discuss it, because one to discuss the fort itself, as well as the batteries and fortifications that were built around the fort, which are also part of Gulf Islands National Seashore today, and are so extensive that honestly, in my trips to Pensacola, I have not been able to stop at every battery and experience each of them. But they were fortifications there for the Second World War, and very, very important in terms of the defenses, the coastal defenses of the United States during World War II. We're going to get to that, I believe, in the next podcast. Let's focus today on the building of Fort Pickens and the role it played in the beginning of the Civil War. It was one of two forts that should be thought of as decisive forts that began the Civil War. The other being Fort Sumter. We all know about Fort Sumter. Fort Pickens is talked about less, but maybe not equally important, but pretty critical to the initial standoff between the newly seceded states of the South that had formed the Confederacy and the Union. So Fort Pickens was one of the first things the United States chose to build as a fortification once they assumed control of Florida in 1821 from the Spanish. And the fortifications began being built in 1829 and were complete by 1834. So when the Confederacy, or when Florida seceded from the Union on January 10th, 1861, Fort Pickens was sitting empty. In fact, the fort had not been occupied since the time of the Mexican-American War, 15 years earlier. So the Union, understanding that Fort Pickens, given its location, was more defensible than Fort Barrancas, which we talked about last week, Fort Barrancas being where the Naval Air Station is now, currently Pensacola on that side, Fort Pickens being on Santa Rosa Island. So that's the difference kind of in geography. They moved the soldiers from Fort Barrancas, and the Union commander's name was Lieutenant Adam J. Slemmer. He moves his forces from Fort Barrancas to Fort Pickens. Colonel William Chase of the Florida Militia, now independent state of Florida, that has seceded from the United States, demands the surrender. Slemmer refuses to surrender the fort, much like we saw happening at Fort Sumter at the same time. So Chase, who knew the fort intimately, he'd been involved in the design phase of the fort in terms of the secondary, the second set of fortifications that had been built during the time of the Mexican American War, or immediately before the Mexican-American War. He was in the Army Corps of Engineers. He understood what it would take to what would be involved in taking the fort. So Florida's drawing up plans, and then the Confederate States of America. Slemmer was reinforced by Colonel Harvey Brown and the USS Brooklyn that pulls into Pensacola Bay on April 11th, 1861. Fort Pickens at this point is potentially a target, much like a fort in Charleston Harbor
at the same time, Fort Sumter. And we know what happens on April 12th and April 14th. We know what happens in Charleston Harbor. So this is at the very same time. Pensacola could have been where the war started, actually. But they didn't. This reinforcement and the USS Brooklyn held them off. The Confederacy attacked the fort finally in October with a large force, and that is the Battle of Santa Rosa Island, as we call it today, and it was an unsuccessful attempt by the Confederacy to take Fort Pickens. The Union lost only 14 men in that battle, although there were many wounded and captured, many more wounded and captured, I should say, in terms of that that battle. General Braxton Bragg, we talked about him last week. He was in charge of the forces in Florida at the time for the Confederacy. He said about 40 or 50 killed and wounded for the Confederacy. We don't know the exact number. There are other sources that say there were as many as 90 Confederate casualties. As we talked about on the last episode, the Confederacy was increasingly running low on supplies. Morale was low, and General Bragg eventually made the decision to surrender Pensacola. So he surrendered to the Union commanders at Fort Pickens. And there were only four southern forts. We might as well do this now, because we've done the other others in Florida. There were only four southern forts that remained in Union hands throughout the war. Fort Pickens, Fort Taylor, which we've discussed already in Key West, Fort Jefferson, now in the Dry Tortugas National Park in the Keys, and Fort Monroe in Virginia. So three of the forts in Florida stay in Union hands throughout the war. And this is really important to understand why. Because they were strategic forts in the areas where General Winfield Scott wanted to ensure that the blockade of the Confederacy were successful. So holding these forts in Florida for the Union were very, very critical. And we talked about that in terms of Fort Taylor and Fort Jefferson, and that was the case also with Fort Pickens. Now, worth noting in discussion of Fort Pickens, and you walk through this section, Fort Pickens is very big, right? Fort Barrancas, if you go to Fort Barrancas in Pensacola, very small, very easy to walk, kind of see everything, which is good in a way. But Fort Pickens is layer upon layer upon layer, and is a maze, and it's huge. It's huge, not only compared to Fort Barrancas, it's huge compared to Fort Jefferson and the Castillo de San Marcos. It's especially huge compared to Fort Matanzas, which we've talked about being very small. It's bigger than Fort Clinch in Fernandina. It's bigger than Fort Taylor, although it's kind of similar to Fort Taylor. Fort Taylor is really big also in Key West, but this is even bigger. So when you walk through Fort Pickens, you see a lot of different things. They don't necessarily look right together. So pieces and additions were made. And one of the additions that was made was after the Civil War, in order to house captives from the various wars against Native Americans, against Native peoples going on in the West. And one of the most famous captives that was held at Fort Pickens was Geronimo, the famous Apache war chief. And there were several others. So the Chiefs are taken to Fort Pickens and held in this special facility that was added. The families are taken to the Castillo in St. Augustine and imprisoned there. So that's another part of the lore of Fort Pickens. Now, that's within the fort complex. There were some additional additions. The black area of the fort, if you will, black colored area of the fort, that were added in the 1890s for the Spanish-American War, that period. And there are a number of battery and artillery areas surrounding the fort that we talked about at the outset that are part of Gulf Islands National Seashore, administered by the National Park Service. We're going to go through a few of those next week. Thank you for listening.